Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
That was awesome. While I'm thinking, people want to thank Marla for putting all the scriptures and setting everything up on the slides. When you see that, that's going to be Marla. Mm-hmm. And thank you to Pastor Spencer for calling me. He called me, I guess, last Monday, I believe it was, and said he had an opportunity at a speaking engagement at another church. I don't know the details as where or who. And I really didn't kind of ask. I just said, yes. You know, it's one of those desperate, yes, yes. I was waiting on you to ask. And so, but I counted an opportunity to be able to stand before you, an opportunity to, partake in God's word with you. I've got some notes here, and I hope that, that you receive encouragement. You receive strength. And uplifting, especially in this time of prayer and fasting. I don't need to know your fast, even if you are fasting, but I know there are a number of us that are praying and fasting, and it is so critical and critically important to do that. And I'm trying to hang tight right here so this camera can lock in on me. And so... But I, nevertheless, don't worry, we're not fixing to make laps or anything. I was just, I guess it was Monday as well, or Tuesday. How many of y'all remember, many of y'all look at YouTube or have the app, YouTube app on your phone? Go ahead and raise your hand. That's awesome. If you don't, you're sticking out like a sore thumb. No, I'm just kidding. I encourage you to download that YouVersion. There's others. At any rate, the verse of the day was Psalms 27 and 4. And I just begin reading it. And right off the bat, the Holy Spirit just started speaking to me and impressing on me how David had one thing in mind in that scripture. I mean, he was amazingly talented, a warrior, you know, but he had one thing in mind. And so that's what I titled this, is just simply one thing, if you happen to be taking notes. If not, that's okay, just absorb it. Let's all look at Psalms 27 and 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing that came to mind when I began, the Lord was speaking to me and the Holy Spirit was talking to me, being single-minded. David, confession and prayer, request to God was one thing, and it was very single-minded in what his goal was. How many of y'all ever heard of the saying, you know, divide and conquer? Yeah, that's a common saying. And isolate and dominate, you know, prey and predator. That's the scheme of a big cat. I don't know if everybody's seen a lion when they're, and lionesses when they are hunting. But the goal to that is to isolate, dominate, to prey. And so it's no irony and no surprise that that is, and don't get confused with the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. That's him. But God used that same tactic to warn us. He is as a lion who prowls about, lurks about seeking whom he can devour. And the main thing he wants to do is isolate, cut away the weak, the powerless, the injured, And that just translates right into the body of Christ. Actually, not just the body of Christ, because hopefully we are healed and we are being healed and we are being set free and walking in liberty. But he wants to cut through the world, your coworkers and my coworkers, your family, some of my family member. He wants to cut them away from the church. He wants to cut them away from you because you are the missionary for that soul, whoever that is. And you may have somebody come right to mind, you know, and but that's his goal, is to divide and devour. That's his main thing. And so it is critically important that we combat that with closeness, with fellowship, you know, with edification is what we're here doing tonight. And because we become very vulnerable when we become alone and find ourselves alone. And it can happen not just physically, and that's really what I'm not even talking about, but mentally, a person can be so closed, and in our minds, we can be so vulnerable, and anxiety creeps in and overwhelms us so that we feel alone. You know, I've had people and heard always saying I was in a crowd, but I felt completely alone and isolated, like nobody knew what I was going through or who I was or what I had been through. Because in their mind, okay, in their mind, they were isolated and vulnerable. And one point in Romans 8:5, how powerful the mind is. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, to the things of the Spirit. Now, that doesn't necessarily right off the bat explain what I'm trying to say, but the mind, we must be influenced. Our mind must be influenced. I mean, we come to devotion. We come to prayer on Tuesday nights. If you're not coming to prayer, I trust that you are praying somewhere. But if you can, come to this place in a concert of prayer, because God hears our prayers, no matter where we are. But our minds. Our enemy seeks to divide our mind because he knows God's word as well. I mean, think about the temptation of Christ. Satan himself, it's really a stupid thing, but Jesus Christ being the word, Satan took that word and said, well, didn't he say this? And didn't he say that? And can't you call this? And he used... He tried to quote the word, which is Jesus, and tried to deceive and divide the Son of God, the Christ. He was so desperate. He was trying to deceive and divide the Son from the Father through his own words. And if he is so daring and so desperate to try and cause the Son of God to fall and bow down. Just bow down and worship me, he said. He is trying to sift us like sand. Not just us, and a lot of this really pertains to us, but a lot of this we've walked through and we're standing in liberty. Maybe not everybody, but for our coworkers and for our family, they are the ones, we are that example, and we are the Holy Spirit to them. I don't want to get our theology crossed. He is in us, but to them, we represent Christ and the Holy One. And frankly, he resides in us, so much so that he changes us. And he tempted the Christ by trying to twist his own words against him in an effort to divide his mind against his Father. And so there is a tremendous attack on our minds. I just want to reiterate how important and vital it is for us to be single-minded. We have one thing and one goal, okay? We are drawing as close to God as we can because he is our source and he is our strength. And without him, we can do nothing. James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And, you know, that is a true word. And so in that, one thing that David wanted, one thing that he desired, he seek the most, he said. One thing I seek the most in the NLT translation. And the next thing he did was ask. I ask. And sometimes it's tough to ask for help. Sometimes it's tough to ask because there's three basic things that's taking place there. You're making yourself vulnerable and saying, I need. I'm in need. Whether I need a loan, whether I need a friend, whether I need a savior. I need healing. You know, all of the above right here. But I ask, Heavenly Father. And number one is that you are admitting. We admit that we, and it's really almost unsaid when it takes place, when you ask. When we ask the Father for anything, or ask anybody for anything, I have a need. Okay? And God said that he loves us, and we know that he loves us. So the next thing we're going to do is find somebody who cares about us, who loves us, who we think will actually or can actually meet our need that we have. And it all depends on how desperate we are, right? Right. It all depends on how desperate we are. And then lastly, we know that the person that we go to has the answer. And all of that takes place when we simply ask. When we ask. But in James 4:8, I believe it is, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I kind of skipped ahead right there. But when we ask, there's a certain way that we ask. I mean, we've all, hopefully you've had an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody. I know I have. And I have been blessed by people. They've just given by following the Lord's direction, and it was a tremendous, tremendous blessing. I'm going to scoot this up. I'm going to be in your lap in a minute. I just didn't want to trip over this.
I feel close.
Okay, awesome. Look, when I'm starting to spit, just keep that in mind. I'm close to him. But it's how we ask makes all the difference. You know, when we come to our loved ones, for example, if I come to Marla and I say, man, it was a long day. Give me some food. Where's the food at? That's about the wrong way. That is the worst way to ask for something to eat. You know, I'm going to ask, baby, how was your day today? You know, I got my arm hanging from my shoulder, broke. But how was your day? I'm going to be concerned. I'm going to ask in a certain way. And so when we approach the Father, there are wrong ways to ask. Okay? There are wrong things to ask. But there are motives. What motivates us to ask the Father for anything? And we have needs. And he's openly said, ask. You know? And we'll read that scripture here in a minute. But still in all, our mindset and why we're asking, be very careful that it's not selfishly motivated. Bottom line, you know, we want to ask with good motives. And going on to John 15:7, if you abide in me, in my, listen to these stipulations right here, right off the bat, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done to you. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask. So see, there are requirements on our side. that we must fulfill. You know, we must follow. And that doesn't make him an unreasonable God, because he's asked us to approach him this way. Because his word is him, and his word is guidance to us in every situation. You know, and so we ask in his name, and we abide in him, and his word abides in us. We can ask. He invites us to come and ask. Okay, so number one, David was single-minded. Number two, David asked the Lord. And now then, point three, it didn't say it in necessarily the that translation, but it said, he reiterated it and said, the one thing I seek most, the one thing I seek. And that is a huge requirement of all of us. Because, you know, dinner is not just going to fall in my lap if I ask my wife nicely for some food, okay? I must abide. And but seek the most. One thing I seek the most. Let's go ahead to Matthew 7. These two scriptures, I don't know that Luke is up there. But, okay, great. If you like scripture memory, I love scripture memory. I'm terrible at it. So I tried to figure out little rhymes and little things that help me remember or trigger my mind to remember topics and scriptures. And when I think about seek the most, I think of Matthew 7 and Luke 11. Those are two separate books that deal with the same issue. 7-Eleven. How many of y'all ever gone to 7-Eleven? Man, I growing up in the South, going over to Pensacola, going over to NCO to surf, 7-Eleven was the place to go, you know, and the icy was the way to go, but that just caught it. Matthew 7, Luke 11. Seek the most. Oh, we have it here. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. And then Luke 11, 9 says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be the door will be opened unto you. Matthew 7 and Luke 11, seek the most. That's what David wanted more than anything. And I had a thought of myself. What do I want of God? What about me? What one thing do I want the most? You know? And unequivocally, it must be the Savior. It must be His Holy Spirit. It must be God the Father. In every situation, we must seek Him with all of our heart. Okay? And I'm sure we've all prayed, and in my prayers, sometimes they don't get answered right off the bat. Sometimes it is in God's time, right? And that's all I want, is in God's time. You ever heard that saying, God's speed to you, you know? And that's the speed I want, is His speed. Whether it's slow, whether it pauses for a moment, or whether it's wide open, white knuckles, let's go. It's God's speed. That's what we must seek the most. It's God's speed. One point I was going to make is to keep asking. Persistence is what it takes at times. When those times where you're in a time of pausing, when you're in a time of searching and waiting, just wait. Just wait on Him. Be persistent. Stay faithful and press on. Okay? In these times, you know, the Lord instructed us to pray without ceasing. Always pray. Always pray. I mean, that's just all there is to it. And anyway, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. Y'all understand that? Keep on asking. with persistence. Luke 18, 1 through 8 says, "Then he spoke a parable to them. That man always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to the judge to get justice from me," she said, "from my adversary." And going on to the next, there we go. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Now, "Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" So persistence is what it takes. Don't give in. Don't be discouraged. Be single-minded and want one thing the most above all. And be persistent in our prayers. Point one, single-minded. Point two, I ask. We must ask. Point three, what we seek the most. And then four is delighting. Delighting is simply defined as a high degree of gratification, satisfaction, or joy. Delighting. And he was speaking of the house of the Lord. And I can vouch that service in this house with these pastors and with these deacons, I find a tremendous amount of joy. A tremendous amount of gratification and satisfaction that I'm being used. And I find a big amount of fulfillment, you know. Because the end result is I want to be led absolutely day to day at my job. With the guys in my personal crew, with the guys at that district, I want to be led by the Spirit in what I say to them. But in this place, in this solace, and I think that's really what David was wanting. He loved the atmosphere of the house of God. He loved the liberty that he sensed and he had in that place to simply pray and talk with God. And it brings joy. Not just one day in his kingdom, but here in this place, here in this house of the Lord, we find satisfaction, we find gratification, we find fulfillment, and we find joy serving in this house right here and serving each other. And 1 Timothy 4 and just verse 6 is what we're going to do. "If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed." And that's all that Aeneas, and I encourage you to go back and read through 6 through 16. And that is our calling. That is our service as a good servant, is that 6 through 16. Be a good servant of Christ. And then finally, point five is meditating. To meditate is what David said on the Lord. David meditated or thought on God regularly. If you go back and just do a word search, that's a cool thing about YouVersion. You can instantly do a word search and on meditate. Psalms is full of it. Because David was meditating on God. He thought about God. When he was at war, when he was governing the kingdom, when he was in the Lord's house, in the temple is what he called it at the end of that verse 4 in Psalms 27. In the temple. Meditating, thinking on God. And it's really not the same as prayer. It really is not. I used to think growing up, meditating and prayer, well, that's the same thing. And it's really not. It's a very different thing from thinking on God, getting your mind on God, thinking about all that he's done for me personally and all that he has done for others, all that he's done for this church. Look around in this place. God has provided and led. Look how many 153 chairs in this sanctuary right now. You know, think about the goodness of God. Think about the way that he has blessed your family personally. Think about the way that he has touched your family on a personal level. Just thinking about God. Meditating on him. David did that regularly. And in Psalms 1 and verse 2, right off the bat, it says, But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Don't quit thinking about the goodness of God. Don't quit thinking and meditating. It's not something weird like meditation and levitation go together. No, 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 no. Meditation is thinking about the goodness of God. And I say that because there's so much meditation out there. That was kind of spooky the way I said that. Meditation, nation. Think on the goodness of God. Oh, it builds up our faith and gets me encouraged and enthusiastic about the Lord. Because he loves us so very much. I'm going to finish this. Throughout Psalms, David can be described as meditating on God all the time. Let's go to Colossians 3 and 2. And we're going to close this. Set your mind on things above and not things on this earth. I don't know. I grew up with DC Talk. How many of y'all ever heard of DC Talk? Jim, you heard of DC Talk? Come on now. Come on. What does DC Talk stand for? Incorrect. That is my wife. Anybody else want to give that? I'm not going to embarrass you. Matter of fact, it just simply says decent Christian talk. DC Talk. And the things of this world. Go to YouTube, look it up. It's awesome. That goes way back. But it is an awesome. Things of this world are passing away. And we should not have our mind. Look, we can't be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, right? But heaven forbid that we be so earthly minded that we're not any heavenly good. Because this world, your workplace, my workplace is a mission field. This church at times is a mission field. These altars are mission fields. This is where burdens are laid down. Liberty is found and freedom takes place and shackles are left. In conclusion, I just want to, a final scripture of encouragement. It's just simply 1 Peter 4 and 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful, earnest and disciplined in your prayers. I shared that with one Tuesday night. Earnest prayers. Keep praying. Keep praying. And that's what I want to do now. I don't know if that song. Yeah, and what I want to do is close out with just, I know some of us have been fasting. And whatever it is you're fasting, be sure that you are replacing that with prayer. And that's what I want us to do right now. It's a song by Shane and Shane, and it simply says one thing. And I encourage you to take a knee anywhere you want to, bow your head where you sit. and let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this place of worship. God, we thank you for this solace, God, this safe place, God, that we can come into this place, God, and pray and worship you. Lord, I pray for this congregation. Lord, I pray that you touch them in a powerful way. God, I pray that these scriptures, God, your Holy Spirit quickens them and it brings them to memory, God, in their day-to-day goings. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would protect them in safety. And Lord, your Holy Spirit would speak to them, God. I just pray, Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, God, I pray for the harvest that is out there. We don't know them. We don't know who they are. We don't know when our paths will meet. But God, we pray for them even now. And God, I pray that their hearts, God, will be softened. Lord, the hardest heart, God, from pain and suffering, God, will be softened by your Spirit. Because you said no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. God, we pray for them. We pray for the harvest. God, bring them into this place, God. Use us, God, as a voice, Lord, of your love and your mercy. Lord, we worship you tonight. We thank you, God. Thank you so much, God. We delight in you and who you are. Lord, all that you have done, the sacrifice and the salvation that you have provided for us. Lord, you are mighty, Lord. We lift you up with our voices. God, we go beyond our flesh. God, we lay our flesh down, dear Lord. And we worship you in the Spirit and in truth. Lord, I just love you tonight. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for the body of Christ that you unite us. Bring us together, Lord, just as those were in the upper room. God, unite us, God, and allow your Spirit to saturate our lives. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be single-minded.